My name is John Sperney. I'm a musician, composer, and producer in New York City.
When you think back on your appreciation, again, after the fact, because I guess you were born in the years when Simon and Garfunkel were first being discovered, as it were, their big albums, 65 and 66, when you got around to visiting that material, what made it appealing to you?
Well, you know, it's funny. I have really early memories. My sister had Simon and Garfunkel's Greatest Hits, so that was an album that was sort of playing a lot in our house when I was a kid. And I, Mrs. Robinson was sort of the song that I always kind of remember, and The Boxer too. I loved that that record. But to me, like, you know, Simon and Garfunkel, like Paul Simon, really comes into his own on Bookends. Like Bookends to me is one of the best records of the 60s and one of my favorite records of all time. And I actually find the kind of earlier stuff, the more sort of self-consciously poetic folk stuff, a little precious, and I don't think it's really aged well. You know, you have like songs like The Dangling Conversation, where there are lyrics like, you know, you have your Emily Dickinson and I my Robert Frost. You know, it's really pretentious. And I think by 68, 69, you know, Bookends and Bridge Over Troubled Water, you have a much sort of more refined sensibility and just much more open songs that are less self-conscious and just great. You know, like to me, Bookends is just an incredible record. And I think Bridge Over Troubled Water is an amazing record too. It's not as consistent to me as Bookends is, but and then, you know, the solo stuff, like there are solo songs that I really like. But Paul Simon's later stuff, I feel bad because I feel like everything I'm saying is kind of negative and I don't want to sound that way. But his sort of 70s work epitomizes what I remember reading one writer who kind of termed – had this term for 70s stuff, which he called adult rock, which he meant pejoratively, you know, that it's kind of like – a little laid back and it's not rebellious and I guess maybe that's Paul Simon's greatest strength, is that he never got sort of tied up in the rhetoric of the youthful indiscretions of the 1960s. You know, if anything, he sort of lampooned them. You know, there's that song, I think A Simple Desultory Philippic. Do you know that song? Or How I Was Robert McNamara Into Submission? You know, which is basically like a Dylan parody and you know, takes aim at a lot of the sort of sacred cows of the youth movement, you know? And I mean, that obviously stands to his credit that he was able to make fun of those people when they deserved it, when it was very politically incorrect to do so, you know?
Yeah, right in the middle of it. I just talked with Jim Fusilli, who writes for the Wall Street Journal, pop and rock writer. Mm-hmm. He made the same point about Simon, you know, after his first couple of solo albums, sort of drifting into, you know, a crooning era that he thought was not his best.
Yeah, work. You know, and it's kind of, if you're a musician, that entire phase is defined by the use of the Fender Rhodes electric piano. You know, and just that sound, it's just endemic on all those records and, you know, like Still Crazy After All These Years, or, you know, it's just, or Slip Sliding Away, you know, they're so mellow, you know, they're almost soporific. And, his first solo records, I mean, you know, like, American Tune, I mean, that's one of the most beautiful songs ever written, you know, and, There Goes Rhymin' Simon. That's an incredible record. And, you know, songs like Kodachrome and Loves Me Like a Rock. You know, I remember when I was a really little kid, those were sort of the hit records on the radio. And, you know, they were great singles and they totally hold up. And he had sort of already started his kind of musical, you know, just getting into other genres of music. Like Loves Me Like a Rock has, I don't know the name of the group, you know, some, yeah, the Dixie Hummingbirds and you know, you could argue that, you know, Mother and Child Reunion is kind of like a proto reggae song. You know, he was always sort of open to disparate musical influences, which is, again, to his credit, you know. I'm not a big fan of Graceland, not because of the I love the mix of the two musics, you know. I think it as an album, it really hasn't aged well. And for me, you know, this just gets into nerdy technical stuff, basically because of the way it's mixed. And it has – there was this effect in the 80s that everybody used called gated reverb. And it's this sort of complicated studio thing where you have a reverb unit which makes the sound of sort of a cavernous hall. And you patch that into a box called a noise gate, which is designed to shut down a microphone when it's not hearing any sound. And so that results in the reverb shutting down very unnaturally. Like, instead of decaying as an echo would in a big room, the echo just stops as if it hit a brick wall. And it makes sort of drums sound enormous. And it was used to death on all these 80s records. And unfortunately, when they mixed Graceland, everything is kind of through a gated reverb. And I just can't listen to that record and not, you know, think of like Pat Benatar or something. It's just it just sounds like the 80s, you know. And I almost wish — I love the music on it so much — I almost wish they would kind of go back and remix it, you know. That's nerdy.
Yeah, well, no, it's interesting too to me, because I remember that sound. I mean, it's probably Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, Peter Gabriel, you can really hear it on — if you listen to You Can Call Me Al, you know, like the toms on that record are just drenched in — and I'm sure Paul Simon kind of cringes when he listens to it, because I hope. Well, do you know the song? You know the story about Sounds of Silence, right? About how that — people have told you that. I saw him on — he was on 60 Minutes once, and he told this great story about, you know, Sounds of Silence became a hit because you know, a DJ put a rock band on it, unbeknownst to them, and by that time —
well, Tom Wilson, I guess.
Did Tom Wilson do it?
Tom Wilson was given credit for —
oh, I didn't even know that.
For mixing.
Yeah, it's weird. If you listen to it, you can hear the band gets off. You know, the band was playing to their original acoustic recording, and the band kind of drift in and out of time with it if you listen closely. But you know, I guess Simon went to England because he thought that the record had been a failure and there was a big folk scene in England. And then he got the call, you know, come home, like, Sound of Silence is a hit and we need to capitalize on it. And at the time, he was still living in Queens with his mom and dad, as was Art Garfunkel. And they tell the story — maybe Art Garfunkel tells the story — about him coming home from England and that night them, you know, driving to some parking lot in Queens and smoking a joint in the car and turning on the radio, and Sound of Silence came on the radio, the rock version. And, you know, Simon just said, wow, I bet those guys are having the time of their life. You know, and they're just sitting in this car in a parking lot in Queens waiting to go back to their mom and dad's house, you know.
Yeah, I just read that story yesterday, as a matter of fact, yeah. Well, before I let you go, can I prompt you a little bit on Bookends to maybe pick a song or two that you remember that you are particularly fond of and why?
Yeah, I mean, I love you know, Faking It has this incredibly bizarre interlude in the middle of the song. It's kind of a pretty traditional mid-60s pop song, but then in the middle he talks about how, you know, in his former life he's sure he was a tailor. And there's just kind of this bizarre — you hear like an accordion or an ocarina or something, and you hear the bell of a shop door opening and a woman saying, you know, good morning, Mr. Leach, have you had a busy day? As if you're like in the tailor's shop, you know, like you've been transported back in time to this. I mean, it's just this incredibly bizarre, whimsical moment in this otherwise very straightforward pop song. And it's one of my favorite moments on the record. You know, it's just kind of emblematic of that whole kind of mid-60s, late-60s attitude about making records, which was just, you know, do whatever you want to do, you know, and that's what, you know, you will be rewarded for it. And to me, the saddest thing about the music business now is that it's the exact opposite of that. You know, people are absolutely discouraged from from messing with any kind of formula. And you know, it shows. You know, it, just that record, Bookends in general, just the whimsicality of At the Zoo, you know, Punky's Dilemma with the lyrics about, you know, being in a toaster. You know, it's a really kind of nutty record, but it's very earnest and warm, and I love the way it sounds, you know.
There's a little Radio Theater clip in there, too. Something about coming down the
steps. Oh, right.
Steps,
everybody, yeah. Everybody knows what he's going to, and you hear someone falling down the steps, you know, as he says it. And I love, you know, before Overs, you hear a match being struck. It's just, you know, it's one of those records that you listen to it. I mean, I always listen to it as an album. I put it on and I listen to it in its entirety. And it's really hard to divorce it into songs. You know, it's one of those records that you put on and it takes you someplace. You know, it's like a little trip through a varied architectural construction, you know, and when it's over, you feel better for having walked through it. And it really holds together, you know, and you know, it's, I guess you could argue that it's vaguely a concept record, you know. I mean, you have the Bookends theme, and there's definitely kind of this evocation of getting older, and you have the strange collage that Art Garfunkel made of old people. That really, these really pathetic, sad recordings of people in an old age home talking about their lives. And then that goes into the song Bookends. It's a really amazing record.